स्व तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। मे वी मेडिटेट ऑन दैट सुप्रीम बीइंग हु ड्वेल्स इन द हार्ट्स ऑफ ऑल। He is the source and sustenance of this universe. In Him we live, move, and have our being. May He illumine our hearts and may He guide us in every way. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. The Viveka Chudamani, or the crest jewel of discrimination, by the great seer philosopher Shankara. I'll try to recapitulate what we have already studied, because what we have already studied is the most important part in the book, as well as most important truth in our spiritual life, for our growth in spiritual life. Now in the first place, she points out that a rare indeed is the blessed combination of human birth, desire for liberation, and discipleship to an illumined teacher. It's a rare combination. We have this human birth, but how many have the desire for liberation? Desire for liberation means again desire for God. I want to know God. You see, that is the one spirit of religion, to know God. I must find God. That is the supreme ideal and purpose of this human life. Vain is this life if we fail to realize God. It becomes fruitful. We reach that perfection, that attainment which we are all seeking knowingly or unknowingly, if only we can find Him. And in order to find Him, the main thing is the longing, the desire. Whenever Sri Ramakrishna would be asked, what is the way to find God? His one answer was, yearn for Him. Of course, this yearning does not come all on a sudden. If there is a little desire even, and which has to be there. You see, that also very few people have. What do they understand by religion in a general way? To live happily, comfortably, and successfully. And all that. That is, this world and this life becomes the be-all and end-all of existence. And about the next life, well, they will say, my priest or my religion will take care of it. If I believe in something, that will take care of it. That's the religion for the general mass. And religion for the few, and which is the true religion. It's neither Hinduism nor Christianity nor Buddhism nor any particular religion, but it is the eternal religion. And that eternal religion means desire for God. And if you have this in your consciousness, then whether you live in the monastery or in the household, it makes no difference. You will find that your life will be regulated by that one desire, by that one longing. Your whole life will be regulated. But when you forget that ideal, then whether you are living in the monastery or living in the house, it makes no difference. Trouble always. But remember only this one thing, that your purpose in life and living is to find God. Yes, you may fail, you may have weaknesses, you may fail in many ways. But does not matter. You will fail and you will rise again. If you keep that ideal in view, if you forget that ideal, then neither monastery life nor householder's life has any meaning at all. So always keep awake that ideal. I have to realize God. I must find Him. In Him alone is peace, freedom, wisdom. Nowhere else. You see, it's not ordinary kind of happiness and peace. Peace that passeth understanding. What is within understanding in the words of Vivekananda? What is within understanding is relative, good and evil. But it's beyond understanding. And it is what Buddha calls noble kind of wisdom. That's what we have to gain, we have to attain. And we do only by finding God. And in order that you can find God, that little desire at least must be there. If you do not have that desire for God and come to religion and want to be a spiritual person, no good. Nobody can give you religion and you can never find religion. The true spirit of religion you will never understand. So to desire for God, I must not only to desire for God, not only to struggle to find Him, but you must find Him. Many others have found Him and it is possible to find Him. This is something that is guaranteed by all great teachers. Desire for Him, struggle for Him. And, you see, discipleship of an illumined teacher, if you have this desire, you meet your teacher. Even God comes down to teach you. The main thing is desire, longing, yearning. Now again, as I said, this desire, if there is any little desire, it can be intensified by the practice of spiritual disciplines. Now, what are those spiritual disciplines? In the first chapter or the next one, he points out the spiritual disciplines, which seem rather very strict. And if really those preliminary disciplines, as he calls, the preliminary qualifications of a spiritual aspirant, remember that, what he says. But if you practice those and even fail many times, and then practice, and if you are perfect in those qualifications, what he calls the preparatory qualifications, you are illumined soul. You know, I had a talk one time, we were studying with a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, who was not only a scholar, but a man of God. He had that illumined knowledge of God. And so we asked him, but if these are the qualifications, preparatory qualifications, then what else is there to do? And then he said, that's right. If you are really qualified, that means you are already in that domain of God. You already realize God if you attain perfection in these qualifications. And so these may seem very strong and strict, but understand that we may fail many times, wake up again, get up again. And always remember that ideal. Then you will have no trouble in life. This I can tell you very definitely. When you forget the ideal, you have all kinds of troubles. Now, let us see these qualifications. First thing is discrimination. What is meant by discrimination? Not discrimination between right and wrong. That is needed in the relative plane. Very good. But that is not the kind of discrimination that is a qualification for a spiritual aspirant. What is this kind of discrimination? Discrimination between the eternal and non-eternal. Discrimination between that which is abiding and that which is fleeting. You see, today is, tomorrow is not. And there is some reality, some substance, some truth, some principle, some happiness, some knowledge, and that is that which is of the eternal. In other words, Sri Ramakrishna simplified it by saying, to realize that God alone is true, everything else is fleeting. See, it is not that they are untrue, that they are false, that they are unreal. No, they are very real. You can touch it, you can smell, you can feel, you can experience with your senses. How can you say they are unreal? No, they are not unreal as long as you are experiencing them. But remember, they are fleeting. And so this discrimination must enter into your head. God alone is real. Yes, your mind and heart may go after things that are unreal, is but human, natural, but do not bring down the idea. Again, rise, wake up, and turn your thoughts towards that which is abiding, that which is eternal. And this thing I might point out to you, no matter what, if you have this struggle within yourself, if you are struggling, if you are striving, you cannot fail. You see, you can go mining, for instance, knowing that there may be a gold mine somewhere there, and you go to begin to dig. You may get, and you may not get. But in this case, there is no may or may not, because there is the gold mine, the treasure is there. God is, and He is dwelling within our hearts. That I am talking to you, He is listening. And when you are listening, He is there present within you. So there is no may or may not. It's right there. Everything else can elude our grasp, but God does not elude our grasp. So that is discrimination. And keep this sword of discrimination awake, no matter how you may fail many times. My master used to say about failures. He said, do you know a cow giving birth to a calf? And if you notice how this calf tries to get up but falls again. 100 times it tries to get up and 100 times it falls, and then suddenly it begins to run. And that's how it is in spiritual life. And I repeat, do not forget the ideal. Your purpose of life and living, whether you are a monk or a householder, there is one purpose, one goal. And go to any religion, and you will find this one truth: to realize God. To realize the Atman, God within. Where is that God again? Here, within. My master often used to say, he who finds him here, finds him everywhere. If he does not find him here, he finds him there. So you see, it is right there. He is the soul of your soul. He is the ear of your ear. He is the eye of your eye. He is the mind of your mind. Every moment, you know, one time, a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna was besmearing oil on Sri Ramakrishna, giving him service. And then Sri Ramakrishna asked, Leto, that was his name, Lattu, Swami Adhutananda, who became a great saint, you know, became a man of God, and he didn't know even how to write alphabet. He was a servant boy. And he became a man of God. I had the blessed fortune to meet him. And when I met him, he was a man of God, man of wisdom. He had that noble kind of wisdom. And so Sri Ramakrishna asked him, Leto, can you tell me when God sleeps? And Leto said, I don't know all that, you tell me. And he said, he never sleeps. He is awake in every one of us always. He says, if he sleeps for one moment, whole universe will go to pieces. So he is awake. And he is awake in every one of us. Remember that. Waiting, waiting for us to call on him. Now, this is discrimination. And as you have this discrimination, then next is not to seek for enjoyments in this life or in the next. You see, this again is very difficult. Because naturally, you see, our senses are outgoing. But have discrimination. And remember, enjoyment is not the end of life and existence. Pleasures are not the end of life and existence. Now again, you see, what Swamiji had brought out this truth beautifully. That as long as we have eyes, we have ears, we have these senses, of course we'll experience this objective universe. And in order to live, we have to attach ourselves to things and objects and persons, otherwise we can't live. We can't all the time remain in samadhi. Then he says, learn the secret to detach yourself at will. In the first place, don't make enjoyments the end all of existence. That is not the ideal of life. But learn to have such control over your mind that you can detach yourself at will. Any moment you desire, you wish, that also comes through practice. But remember that we have to give up our idea of enjoying this world or in the next. You see, you know, when according to the Hindu ideal of sannyas, man of renunciation, he gives up the enjoyment of this world and enjoyment of the next world. That is, no heaven for him. So what is left? Just God, Atman, nothing else. That's the sannyas, that's the monastic life, and that's the life, whether you are a householder or a monk, you have to live that life. You have none but God. Atman. that God within. He is your only refuge. You see? Then, next is, we must acquire 6 treasures. Sama, or tranquility. What does tranquility or poise mean? You see, opposites of life are there. Heat and cold, pleasure and pain, health and disease, these opposites are there. What can we do about it? We have to gain poise in the midst of these opposites of life. Without that poise, that balance, you are unsettled. And both we experience in life. The difficulty with us is, when we have a good time, we think, this is going to last forever. And when we have a bad time, we become impatient. Also, we think, this is going to last forever. No, nothing lasts. They are passing away. You know, when I first joined the monastery, a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Premananda, he asked me, "Son, have you held on to the pillar?" And then he explained to me that the boys hold on to the pillar and then go round and round. But they're holding on to the pillar, so there is no danger of falling down. So he said, "Have you held on to the pillar? And what is that pillar?" "The feet of God. Hold on to Him. He is your refuge. He alone is true. Everything else will pass away. So hold on to that pillar, to that post." Then dhamma, or self-control. I've already given you the idea of what it means. That is, you can attach yourself, and you have to learn to detach yourself in a moment's notice. You are doing some work, and you have to love to do that work. You can't be indifferent. Non-attachment does not mean indifference. So when you are doing something, you are attaching yourself to that. But then you detach yourself next moment. That is not the be-all and end-all of your life. And that's the trouble. You see, even in monasteries, you know, I remember when I first came to the monasteries, I was a little indifferent. Because I thought non-attachment means indifference. Then my master scolded me. But this is Lord's place, Lord's work. You must learn to love everything. But at the same time, you attach yourself, then detach yourself. You know, this again, another disciple of Sri Ramakrishna taught us. When you go to meditate, forget Ramakrishna mission and forget the work of the Ramakrishna mission. Just you and your Lord. None else. You see, that's dhamma, that's self-control. Then titiksha, forbearance. You understand what forbearance means? You have to bear and bear and forbear. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, "He who bears and bears and forbears remains." And then uporoti, very difficult to translate this word, because I can only explain what it means. It means that you do not react to external stimuli. Act, but do not react. For instance, somebody hurts you, and you feel hurt. Then you don't have that uparati. Then you are acting to the external stimuli. You don't react, which is very difficult. You know, I'll tell you an instance. You see, these are very practical things. I am not talking theories. Please understand, I am not talking theories. I have seen, they are practiced. A disciple of Sri Ramakrishna goes to see the chief of police, you know, because two young men joined the monastery who were in the revolutionary movement. And he went to tell him that he is responsible for these boys. But as he went there, you know, this police chief, he just was abusive to the Swami. And there was another younger Swami with him. He was just boiling. He wanted to just kill this police chief. He felt like that. And the Swami, it just was calm like anything. Nothing happened. And then, you see, as they came away, this young brahmachari asked him, "But Swami, how could you bear all that insult?" He said, "Insult? What do you mean? Well, he was so abusive to you." "Well, I didn't accept." You see, it's like a gift, you know. Buddha gave this illustration. Somebody was abusive to Buddha. And Buddha remained calm. Then he was asked, "How is it?" He remained calm. He said, "When you offer a gift, if you don't accept it, then it is not yours. So this insult was given as a gift and I didn't accept that gift. So what does it matter?" You see, that's uparati. I don't have one word for this. Then Shraddha, faith. Faith means, faith has been defined, you know, as faith in the words of the scriptures and in the words of the teacher, guru and shastra, scriptures and guru. And without that faith, it is not possible to grow. Faith in the scriptures, faith in the words of the guru, because the scriptures record what has been known, what has been felt, what has been experienced. Teacher is talking from his own experience. And this something that you cannot, through reason you cannot reach that, but it is not contradictory to reason. And then, also faith, not merely believing, but in order that you can reach that same truth. He shows you the way, the path, you have to follow that path. And, as Buddha said, you have to experiment to experience the truth. And of course, you see, you know, I have known people they think they have found a new way to find God. And you know, all kinds of new ways are there. Psychology, psychiatric, AA, and all kinds of things. And they write to me that I have found a new path, an easy path to God. Wonderful. What is the way? That which has been trodden by the sages of old. That is the path, that is the way. Get this away from it, you are in a trap, lost. Then samadha. You have to surrender the fruits of all your actions to God every day. You see, these are the six treasures that you have to acquire within yourself. But as I said, that if you become perfect in all this, of course, then the truth becomes revealed. But you struggle to achieve these qualifications, and then also it says these are the three steps: hearing, reasoning, and meditating. Hear about this truth of the Atman from the Guru, from the scriptures. Then reason upon it. Why? Don't accept and believe immediately. Reason. Reason means try to understand what you hear. No argument about it. Not opposing it. But try to understand and so reason upon it. And then, when you have become convinced, meditate upon that truth. And, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, for instance, it is said how you must know the truth of God. How? By approaching a teacher. And I have to speak in Sanskrit, you know, in order to get to my mind. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Know that truth. Pranipa, that is by bowing down, prostrating before the Guru. What does it mean? You have to submit yourself. If you think you know better than the teacher, don't come to him. But blessed are the poor in spirit. With that poverty, as it were, I want to know the truth. I have no knowledge of the truth of God. So you prostrate before Guru. Then question him. Pariprasnena. Question him. And give service to him. And you know how this is explained? Pranipatena means hear about this truth from the Guru with humility. Then reason upon it, question him to get a clearer understanding. And then how do you serve the Guru? By following his teaching, meditating upon that truth of God. Now may I invite questions? Here are some questions already here. Is it wrong to be curious about oneself? If so, why? How can a person discover his real self, the God, and wrong in him, the good and wrong in him? How do you know how you really are? Well, that's the whole problem. You don't know yourself. And you see, your whole world is centered around yourself. I want this, I want that, I desire this, I desire that. Who is this I? No psychiatrist by self-analysis can give you that truth of yourself. He makes yourself a big ego. And you all the time begin to talk about yourself and nothing else. That's not yourself. Tattvam asi, that thou art. Aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman. That is the self. And that self, to know that self, you have to approach the teacher, hear that truth, reason upon that truth, and meditate upon that truth. There is no other way. I read in the Eternal Companion, while it is true that Maharaj held the ideal of selfless service, of serving God in man, to be a form of worship, he also pointed out that without the practice of meditation, it is hard to do work as worship, and that it is utterly impossible to annihilate the ego simply by actions, however selfless they may be. We must act, but we must also try by our meditation to merge the ego in God. That's the practical thing, you see. One may say that by selfless action you can reach God. True. But you cannot have selfless action unless you learn to be selfless. And how do you learn to be selfless? By merging your little self in God. And how do you do that? By meditating. So there's no other way. Only by action. You know, it builds up our ego. You see? Builds up our ego. Maybe selfless. Maybe you are not asking anything in return for the good that you are doing. But, without me, the world cannot go on. That is not selfless action. You become selfless only by submitting yourself to God completely, by merging your little self in Him. And so that's what Maharaj emphasized. Work and worship. Work is worship, but work and worship. And you know, then again, sometimes in order to convince these most active people, we'll say, now worship also is action. So worship. That's important. What is the role of common sense in spiritual practices? What is common sense? Which is very uncommon. I have seen common sense in only illumined souls. No funny business there. There you find really common sense. Now ask something. I have some more time.
The oral questions from the audience are being revoiced due to their being off mic during the original recording. What is common sense?
It's something indefinable, so I'm not trying to define it. That which is true and real and no imagination, you see? No funny business. I use the word funny business.
Is it possible to lose the grace of one's own mind? We have the grace of God and the grace of the Guru, But can one lose the grace of their own mind?
Yes, yes, that's what Maharaj said to me at one time, that three graces are needed. Grace of God, grace of Guru, grace of your own mind. And then I asked him, I understand I have the grace of Guru. But how do I know I have the grace of God? He said, you have received His name. That's His grace. And unless you have the grace of your mind, that is, unless you want to struggle and practice what you have been asked to do, nobody can do anything about it. You see, one time I told him, you give teachings, then you don't help us anymore. He said, how do you know that I don't help you? Are you practicing what I asked you to practice? You see, that's common sense, the way he was talking. And he said, do what I've asked you to do, follow that, then you will find you are receiving my help.
Okay. Swami, in actual practice, doesn't detachment mean fixing your mind in God?
Right you are. Now you are getting common sense. That's, you see, you come ultimately to the whole truth of religion is to chant the name of the Lord and to think of Him. You see, act, work, go, sleep, but keep your mind fixed in God. Do everything that you are doing, but keep your mind in God. Through action, through in your sleep also. And it is possible.
Om Hari Om Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahavirjam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om. May Brahman protect us, may He guide us, may He give us strength and right understanding. May we have love for all. May our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.